If you have your Bibles, turn with me real quick. 2 Samuel, I'm not going to hold you long. We've got two preachers here that have said they've got something from the Lord. I did not expect to preach at all. I just want to lay something on your heart that the Lord laid on my heart this morning. If you'll stand with me for the reading of the Word. 2 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 21. And the Bible says, I'll let you get there for a second. They've got it there. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 21. Then said Joab to Cushan, "Go tell the king what thou hast seen." And Cushan bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, "But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushan." And Joab said, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever," said he, "let me run." And he said unto him, "Run then, Ahimaaz, and by the way of the plain, and overran Cushan." And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man ran alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, "If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth." And he came apace and drew near. Also in the book of Amos, real quick. Book of Amos, chapter number 8, verse number 11. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, that not a famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but of hearing of the word of the Lord." Also in the book of Matthew, real quick, one more verse. Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 19. "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak." You can be seated. I want to preach to you just for a moment this morning, young people. I read this passage of scripture a while back and just went to thinking, Brother Lucas, I was thinking about how that young man was, that vigor you were talking about this morning, that excitement. And I'm going to tell you, young people are full of excitement, and that's a good thing. I'm telling you, throughout this Bible, it says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm going to tell you, that's folks that are excited about what they're doing. I don't want nobody coming up to me that don't really care about what they're talking about. I don't want nobody coming up to me and talking to me, trying to sell me on something if they don't their self care about it. I don't want a Hoover vacuum salesman to come to my house and he's vacuuming with a dirt devil. I don't want that to happen, folks. And I don't want a preacher or a young person to come up to me and tell me about a Jesus that is not applied to their life. But I'm going to tell you, I want somebody who's passionate. This world's looking for somebody who's passionate about what they believe. I'm telling you, in politics today, you can look and you can see only those that are passionate about what they believe, and only those that really say, "Hey, I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I believe." I'm rising to the top. And in this church world, that's all that's going to rise to the top, is somebody who believes what they say they believe. And it's going to be showed through their life. This young man in 2 Samuel, he comes up and he said, "Hey, I want to run. I want to run. This guy's got a message. He's running." And he said, "Son, there's no tidings in your mouth. There's nothing for you to tell the king." He said, "Nevertheless, let me run." Young people, this morning, if I could encourage you nothing else, if I could tell you nothing else, I'm going to tell you, there are young people all around you. There are folks all around you, all that are preaching, young people who are being raised up. You can see the call of God on their life. You can see that they're called to preach. You can see they're called to lead singing. You can see, someday she's going to be a preacher's wife. Someday he's going to be a missionary. Someday he's going to do this or they're going to do that. But I don't know if God's got anything for me. But I beg of you this morning, if you just get the heart and say, "God, let me run. Whatever it takes, God, I want to run. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be one that just stands there when I know there's a message to be preached." I encourage you, young people. So many in this world today say, "Somebody else can do it. Somebody else can do this, or somebody else can preach the gospel. Somebody else can live it that way. I'm just a country boy. I'm telling you something, you may have never heard me of my name before, and that don't bother me. You may have never saw me before, and that don't bother me, Brother Dustin. But I'm telling you something. When the call of God came on my life at 14 years old, I began to pray, God. I know there's all kinds of preachers. I was raised in a fellowship full of some of the greatest preachers in the world, Brother Joey Sweeney and me. We grew up together, different ones. I'm going to tell you, God will let him do it. God will let this one do it. I'm telling you, they had a message in their mouth. And I thank God for what he gave them. But I'm telling you, I want to run. I want to do. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to just sit to the side. And I encourage you this morning, run. Run with all your might. Don't just sit there and say, well, this one will do it. Or that one will do it. But this morning, say, God, if nothing else, even if I ain't got the words yet, even if you ain't given me the message yet, even if I hadn't heard it yet, let me run, because I want to be available when it's time. I just encourage you this morning, young people, if you will, say, God, let me run. Come, brother.
Amen. Don't you want to run for the Lord this morning? Amen. Thank you, Brother Brandon. God's looking for availability today. It's not about our abilities. I said it's not about your abilities, it's about your availability. A lot of people have great and mighty talents, but they're not available for God. But that's okay, because God's looking for somebody that's willing to give their self to him. And you know what he'll do? He'll anoint you. You might not be the greatest singer, but that's okay. When the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it's not about how pretty you sing. It's how beautiful people see Jesus in you. Run this morning. Praise the Lord. Brother Destin's going to come. Let's give him and brother, give him the Lord a hand clap this morning.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me real quick to the book of Mark, chapter number 12. I'm sorry, chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2, verses number 1 through 12. We'll read through these very quickly here. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh into him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, in so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. You can be seated this morning. I just want to preach to you a quick thought this morning, kind of looking at this scripture a different way. The Word of God says that they brought this man that was sick of the palsy. Now that means this morning that he was sick. He was physically sick with this disease. But I want to take this a little different way and tell you, young people, we need to become sick of being paralyzed by the enemy. We need to become sick of the palsy that he is plaguing this generation that you live in with this morning. We see young people, we see young adults, we see people in the world that we live in today that are paralyzed by things like fear. We're paralyzed by things like depression. We're paralyzed by things like hatred and different things in our life that keep us from what God wants to do in our life. Can I tell you this morning, I know it's been preached, but I tell my young people every Sunday morning in Sunday school class that God has a specific plan that he planned for you. The moment that you were born and you breathed that first breath, he said, I've got a reason for them to live. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I've got a calling on their life. And can I tell you, at that very same moment, the devil rose up his ugly head and he said, I've got, Brother Jacob, a plot against them. I've got something to come against them to paralyze the plan that God has for them. And he comes into our life He brings these things against us. He comes at us, Brother Brandon, to keep us from being willing to run, from being willing to say, God, use me how you want to use me. Whatever your plan is. This morning you might say, I don't know what the calling is on my life. I don't know where God's leading me, but I want to do something for him. Can I tell you this week that the enemy will work overtime this week to paralyze you, to cripple you from entering into the presence of God? There were some of you here last night as a spirit began to move that decided to come up and say, I'm not going to be paralyzed anymore. I'm tired of not entering into God's presence. But I dare say there were some of you that stayed back that said, well, you know, I don't know what so-and-so is going to think, or God, what things am I going to have to give up in my life if I fully surrender to you? That's the enemy telling you, stay where you are. Don't you get up. Don't you become anything. Don't you do anything for God, because he is afraid of you this morning. I heard a preacher say, if you can tolerate something, you will never change it. If you can tolerate it, you'll never change it. Brother Stephen, if you can tolerate, I hate going to the doctor. I hate going to the hospital. So I tolerate a lot of things. I can tolerate some pain to keep from going, Brother Jacob. And if I can tolerate it, I'm not going to change it. If I can take a little Tylenol and the pain goes away, I'm not going to change it. Young people, if you can tolerate being where you are, never moving in God, feeling a little bit better when you leave church, but never fully surrendering, you will never change who you are. We have to quit allowing the enemy to paralyze us with his things. We have to come to the place as they did with this man. He was sick of the palsy, and they said, hey, we can't get to Jesus. We can't come through the doors. It said the crowd was pressed so much that they couldn't enter in. We've got to come to that place, young person, at this truth camp this year, 2018, and say, Lord, I must get to your presence. I must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I must learn what my calling is. Lord, even if I have to tear a roof off, even if I have to go dip in the river, even if I have to climb a tree, Lord, whatever it takes to get in your presence, to learn, God, what you plan for my life, I'm tired of being the person that I am. He tries to paralyze us in this life, so we'll give up on God's calling. There's some of you here this morning that face battles every single day of your life. You face struggles. When you go home, you're going to go back home to those struggles. Unsaved family. Unsaved parents. I know I was that young person. I went home to a broken home, to unsaved family, and I was around that. I know the struggle. I know the difficulties. And can I tell you, before I was even called to preach, that God, the enemy began to plague me. He began to try to paralyze me. And you say, Brother Dustin, why does he fight me? I'm not a preacher. I don't get up there. I don't sing. I barely witness. I don't testify. Can I tell you this morning, the reason is because, I don't know if you know this or not, but hell invented the abortion. Abortion in the physical sense is of the devil. If you don't agree with that, I'm sorry. We can talk after church. But he invented that this morning. But in the spiritual sense, Brother Stephen, the very same way, the devil knows if he can kill you in your adolescence, if he can get rid of you in your innocence before God ever does something, then he knows I can stop them before they ever get where God wants them to be. I can stop them. That's why, young person, they sent them out to kill Jesus when he was just a baby. He said, if I can stop him now, if I can keep him from getting to that cross, if I can keep him from paying the price, if I can keep him from doing this, he'll never become what he needs to be. Young person, it's the very same thing for you this morning. Why does he fight me? Because he knows your future. He knows where you're headed. He knows what God has planned. We need to get our eyes off of our weaknesses, off of our past failures. Quit worrying about where we come from. Quit worrying about what our last name is. Quit worrying about what people think about the things we used to do. And say, God, I want to be who you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. Can I tell you this morning, until we become tired of the place that we are, we will never become that person God wants us to be. Jacob would have never become Israel until he got tired of being Jacob. He said, I'm tired of being known as the serpent planter, so I'm going to find a place. I'm going to wrestle with the Lord. I'm not going to let him go until he blesses me. I'm not going to be their young person. You will never become Israel until you're tired of being Saul. He would have never become Paul unless he came in contact with Jesus. Until you come to that place where you say, I'm tired of being paralyzed. I'm tired of being held back from what God wants me to do. You will stay the very same person that you are. But God doesn't desire that. He doesn't have that plan for your life this morning. If I went around this room, we were discussing this at breakfast this morning, and I'm fixing to wrap it up here this morning, but we were discussing, if I went around this room this morning and asked many of you, when the Revolutionary War ended, when America was made free, a lot of people would say, well, July 4th, 1776, that's our date of independence. But we would find that that would be wrong. You see, the Revolutionary War did not end until October of 1781, many years later. But we celebrate the day that America said, we're going to be free. Today we declare our independence. I declare that I am going to be made free from this that persecutes me. And can I tell you that today on August 8th, I believe there's some young people in this house this morning that's going to say, today is my declaration of independence. I'm telling the enemy this morning that today, before I leave this church, before I leave Truth Camp, no longer am I going to go home and fall back into that sin. No longer am I going to go back to those old ways. I'm not going to be hindered. I'm not going to be bound. I've got a word in my mouth and I want to run. I want to share it with the world. Can I tell you this morning, we need to declare to the enemy this morning, no longer will I be paralyzed by what you bind me by, but today I will be made free. Today I'm sick of this palsy. I'm sick of what you bound me by. Aren't you thankful tonight that yes, the enemy fights. Yes, he is mighty. The word of God says that he is as a lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. But the very same word of God says, but Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. See, the devil can only be as a lion, but Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's fighting for you this morning, young person. Become sick of where the enemy has you. Become tired. Say, Lord, I want to be who you want me to be.
Amen. I'm thankful for victory. How about you? Freedom today. He that the Son has set free is still free indeed. Amen. We don't have to be paralyzed by fear, paralyzed by the works of the enemy, because, see, that's where a lot of people stay. See, we were talking about a little bit earlier, if the enemy can get you paralyzed right now at your age, he knows in 30 years if he can keep you that way, you'll still be that way. A lot of people are that way. But I'm thankful for freedom today. Freedom, and freedom, amen, freedom did cost, just like he was talking about independence this morning. Freedom does cost. It costs you surrender, but it costs Jesus everything. I mean, we can declare our independence today, not on our own merit, but by the blood of Jesus and by the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Because of his sacrifice, we're free. We're free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brethren, this morning so far. Aren't you enjoying the word of God today? Amen. Speaking to our hearts. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask Brother Sean Borrow to come and minister the word to us today. Let's give him and the Lord a hand clap as they come forward. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all stand up with me. Amen. Amen. I know sometimes we can sit, and I know our attention spans get, come on, we can sit for 15 minutes and y'all are tired. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this morning, I come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So I want you just to stretch for a minute and kind of do what you got to do, and then you can sit back down. Amen. But I want your undivided attention. Amen. Just for just a few moments. I appreciate the word of God that has just come from the two men of God. I appreciate what Brother Stephen had to say this morning. Amen. I feel like God has got something to say this morning for you. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, church, it may just be for two or three of you. It may be for a counselor or two. Amen. God woke me up. Amen. I get up very early and do my devotion and prayer time at my altar at home. And Thursday morning, I began to pray, and I wasn't on my knees probably 4 minutes. And the Holy Ghost spoke this word to my heart and said, it's going to be for Truth Camp. Amen. I wasn't scheduled to preach. Amen. But God gave me a word, and I've been sitting on it. Amen. I'm going to obey this voice of God this morning. Amen. Amen. Brother Goodwin said, you got 10 or 15 minutes. I'm going to do my best, but my wife and my youth group laughed at that. So I'm not trying to bore you this morning, but I will obey the voice of the Lord. Is that okay, Brother Goodwin? Is that okay, Brother Blake? Amen. I'm not up here to tickle your ears. Amen. I'm not up here to make you laugh. I'm up here to deliver a word for the Lord for somebody this morning. Amen. Keep your on your feet today. I want to read to you maybe just one verse of scripture. Amen. And I'll tell you, I could nearly open my Bible and it would nearly open up to Acts chapter 27 because the Holy Ghost has not let me go from this chapter for nearly 2 weeks. Amen. But I want to read Acts chapter 27 in verse 20. And it says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, it says all hope that we should be saved was taken away." Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me. Lord, I love you today. God, with all my heart, God, I'm not up here to promote myself, Lord. God, I'm not a polished preacher, but God, when I get a word, God, I will stand on the street corner if that's what it takes. God, I pray today for that precious anointing. I pray, God, that I would decrease. Lord, that your word would increase this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is my first year in youth camp. I'm usually with the little guys at camp. Amen. I've grown to know a lot of you. A lot of you guys have been in kids' camp that I've seen promoted to youth camp. Amen. I'm not maybe the most recognizable face here. Amen. But y'all have seen my ugly face here through the years. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, church. Young people, you need to get a hold of what God's doing at camp. Amen. Can I tell you something? That seven, eight years ago, before I started coming to camp, I was against my youth coming to camp. I did not want my kids no part of it because I had believed a lie in my heart that they're going to get up there and they're going to get hurt. Amen. They're going to get up there and there's going to be a bunch of clicks. Amen. I thank God that my pastor, amen, said, "No, you need to go ahead and go." And I found a group of men, a men of God, amen, that all they want, church, is for you to make it. Amen. All we want to do is to say, kids, you can make it. Amen. You can make it all the way. Don't listen to what the devil is telling you. Amen. There's going to be people and things and ideologies that come against your mind to get you to say, you know what, this way is good for somebody, but it ain't way for me. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's a lie from the devil. Amen. What we got here this morning, amen, I did not even make a note on my iPad. Amen. The Lord had given me this, and all I had was my phone, and the Holy Ghost said, just preach it like I give it to you, boy. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and preach. But what we find here is this: Paul is on a journey to be standing before the Roman governor, amen. He's got to testify. Jesus told him so, amen, amen. And we find here that he was put on a ship, amen, and he was paired up with a man named Julius. He was over him, the captain of the guard, amen. And we find here that Julius, I believe he respected Paul. We find here, amen, that Paul is a prisoner, but they know this man is not no murderer. They know this man, I believe, that his character stood out. Amen. But what we find here, amen, that Julius secured for them a trip, thinking that we're going to get on this boat, amen, and we're going to take, and I'm going to deliver him, and I'm going to go about my soldier duties. I'm going to go about with my status. I'm going to go about and do what I was called to do, amen. But what we find here is right before they get on that ship, amen, the Apostle Paul, amen, I believe the Holy Ghost is just dealing with him, amen, and they had problems getting to where they was going, amen, but they landed in a place called the Fair Havens Church, amen, and what happened is, amen, the Apostle Paul, he says, you know what, I think we need to stay right here. I don't think we need to move, amen. And he stands up to the centurion. He says, "Centurion, can I tell you, this is not going to be good. If we leave this safe harbor, it's going to be peril for us and the ship," amen. But I believe right now, amen, that God had his hand on a man named Julius, amen. God had his hand. I believe he wanted to show Julius something, amen. And the word of God says that he did not listen to the Apostle Paul, amen. But what he did, he chose to look at the captain. He chose to look at the vessel, amen. He chose to look at everything that said, this is going to be all right, amen. Can I tell you something this morning, amen? There are things in life, amen, that we pursue, amen. We look upon, the world says, that's the way, amen. The world says, this is the only way to get from here to there, amen. You don't need to worry about your spirituality, but what you need to worry about is your success, amen. What you need to worry about, I'm telling you something, I'm the captain of my boat, amen. And Julius, he said, you know what, Paul, I respect you. I mean, dude, you're a nice guy. But I'm going to go the way of the captain. I'm going to go all the way of the rest of the ship. Amen. There's more that says this way is the right way than that one single man of God saying, hey, don't forget this way. We can't do this. No, this is not right. Amen. But what he done, he stopped his ears to the word of God. Amen. He closed up his ears unto the word of God. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow what the majority says. Amen. Amen. So we've established where we're at this morning. Praise the Lord. But I believe with all of my heart, have you ever asked yourself, how did I get here? I need the Holy Ghost help this morning. Man of God, I need you praying. God's got his finger on somebody this morning. Have you ever asked yourself, young people, I'm going to ask you right now. You ain't got to shake your head. Men, young ladies, in this camp, God moved last night, but there are still some in here. Come on. You put on a good front. You know how to act the part. My goodness, you know how to be Pentecostal if you have to. But you laid your head down on your pillow last night and you said, God, how did I get to this point in my life? God, sister so-and-so had tears running down her eyes. She got the victory. Oh, man, brother, what's his name over here? I mean, he surrendered. I mean, there. But God, I'm right here. I love the word of God when it says that all hope was lost and there was no hope that they would be saved. Brother Don, I'm trying to keep it in 10 minutes, but that ain't going to happen, brother. Can I tell you a little story? I'm not following my notes, just quiet. I was raised in church. I was raised in a Pentecostal, Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-believing, come on, conservative church. And I found myself, Brother Dustin, at a place I said, God. I played that bass. My youth group knows my testimony. I played my guitar. I knew when to raise my hands. But for years, I chose to look at the majority. And I let the things of the world sneak into my heart. And there come a time in my life, I looked up at myself and I said, God, I don't know how I got here. God, I don't know how I got here. Come on, I believe that at the moment that they wrote that scripture, I mean, all hope was lost. I'm going to tell you something a little bit about Julius. This man was a captain, amen. This man, no doubt, was trained. I bet he could snap anybody in half. Brother, he was strong. He had skills, amen. He had everything he needed, amen. He had the knowledge, amen. But when he was trapped on that boat, amen, and God sent a storm by called Euryclidon, amen. Can I tell you something this morning? I don't care what you think you know. I don't care what you think the society is doing, but when God brings a storm down on your life, amen, can I tell you something? I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how much you think you know, but can I tell you something, young ladies and young men today, there ain't nothing on that boat can stop the storm that God's going to bring on your life to get your attention. You know what that verse says? It says on the third day, it says they lightened the load on the second day, but on the third day, Brother Jacob, they took the tackling out of that boat. They took the tackling out of that boat, and I looked up what that meant. Amen. I wanted to know what exactly the tackling of the boat was. Acts 27 and 19, it says, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And I looked it up, and the tackling of the ship was whatever they could do without that carried weight. This further effort to lighten the ship seems to show that it is now in a leaking condition. Amen. There come a point, I believe, when Julius, as strong and stalwart as he was, amen, no doubt he had his men. Amen. No doubt he's saying, men, this is a storm. Amen. We can handle it. We are trained. Keep the, you know, just be strong. Amen. But I can't help but think that Julius went down in his cabin and fear got a hold of him, because everything he was trained and thought would work for him, at this moment, he's trapped in a place where none of that's going to help him, church. Amen. None of that's going to do him any good. Amen. And I believe with all my heart that fear come upon the man. Amen. And it says that we took the tackling and we tossed it Anything that was in that boat, amen, furniture, anything. I looked it up. It said even some sails, even some anchors, amen. I know they left one or two in there, amen, if you'll read down in the chapter. But what I'm telling you, church, is young ladies and young men this morning, there are things that the world has already told you this is the way. You cannot live without social media. You cannot live being pure. Can I tell you this morning, I looked it up, amen, that I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We ain't got no kids. They're preteen sex, church, amen. It says that over 60% of seniors have already had sex before marriage. I hope this is all right. I'm going to preach it, amen. 60% of your average high schooler has already dabbled in pre-marriage sex, amen. And 45%, if I'm not mistaken, of just high schoolers have already experienced what should have been kept. Amen. You know why? Because they said, no, I'm not going to listen to Paul over here, but I'm going to listen to the captain of the world that says, this is the way it is. Amen. This is the way that we do it in 2018. But can I tell you today that even that captain, my God, even that captain, he found himself. Even the captain of the boat found himself without any hope, brother, because God bring a storm by. God brings something by, amen, to rock that boat. And they come to the realization that everything I thought was going to be at my comfort in this boat, everything that I thought was going to be something for my navigation in life, I'm telling you right now, we're taking on water, and I'm telling you right now, there ain't nothing I ain't going to throw out of the boat that I can keep this boat afloat. What does it say in Job? The devil even told God, he said, skin for skin. He said, there ain't much a man will do but to save his life. Amen. I know I'm just ad-libbing that verse. But they come to the realization that, you know what? I wish I'd listened to that little old preacher man. In my own life, church, I come to the place. You can ask my wife, my marriage almost ended 18 years ago. Come on. You don't have to amen me. I will deliver this word, and if I never get asked back, I could not care less. Amen. I will obey God. But 18 years ago, I was so bound in sin. I nearly wrecked my marriage before it ever got started. And I'm going to tell you something. It didn't end with that. It went on for a few years. Can I tell you something this morning? I come to a realization. I came to a place I was bound by addiction. Come on, I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. I was bound in the lust of my flesh. I was bound with the vices. Come on, they tell you it's okay. Just get you a big old dip of snuff. Amen. That's what boys do in Texas. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's a temptation for some of you this morning. I'm telling you, some of you have put it in your mouth. But can I tell you something? You say, brother, that's meddling. You don't think that's no different than eating a bunch of fried food. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Anything that God has already put his finger on in your life, can I tell you something? That an effeminate attitude, amen, some girly boy, is wrong. I don't care if it offends the church, amen. Can I tell you something this morning, amen, that looking at dirty magazines, I don't care if you got it. You know what? Today, we ain't got to hide the magazines under our bed, but my God, you got them on your phones today, amen. My God, you got stuff hid out. I'm on your trail this morning. The Holy Ghost has got your number. Can I tell you something this morning that it will send you to a devil's hell? Young ladies, can I also tell you, amen, you're looking at 4,500 likes on your post, amen, and you are guiding the way you dress, the way you act, amen, by what the world says is common and okay. But can I tell you this morning, by the word of God, amen, that they should have listened to the Apostle Paul and that word of God and says, don't leave the harbor. My God. Can I tell you something this morning? Oh, Jesus. I found myself at a place that I knew I was going to hell. And I'm going to tell you something. I had stood in prayer lines. I remember going out at a campfire one night, just me by myself. And I took my addiction and I said, I'm done with this. Conviction. But brother, I never repented of it. I thought in my own self, I was still trusting the tackling of that ship. I was still trusting, come on, in that sail. I was still going to say, you know what? I know we're in a mess, amen, but I think if I just hoist this sail up a little more, I think if I just go ahead and do what I'm doing, amen, I'll get through this rough patch. I'll ride over this conviction, amen, but there came a point in time that the crew of that ship realized, I cannot fight it anymore. I cannot fight the conviction anymore, and I believe they realized, church, amen, that there come a time that everything in that ship was not going to help them, but it was weighing them down. That boat was leaking. And can I tell you something? I believe another day or two and something was going to take that boat to the bottom. You say the Apostle Paul was on it. I guarantee you the Apostle Paul was on it. If that man of God had to ride a board all the way to Rome, he was going to live. But I believe with all of my heart, amen, that there was going to be some peril on the ship unless they lightened the load. This is what God told me. I'm almost done. I'm talking to a counselor this morning. I'm talking to a young person this morning. I'm just obeying the Lord. I know this may not make you laugh. When I finally realized that nothing could save me, this morning, there is some young men and young women in here. There are situations. Maybe I didn't name your problem. Thank God I hope not everybody's hooked on pornography. I hope not everybody's smoking and dipping and drinking. But I'm going to tell you something, just like the man of God said this morning, it does not have to be much. It's just something between you and God. There was a whole lot of water between that boat and the shore. Amen. There was a whole lot of things weighing that boat down. Amen. What does it say in Hebrews? Amen. We've got to cast aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us and run this race. Brother, I found myself, my wife would testify, you have no idea what God done for me. You have no idea the change that this gospel has. I'm looking at young people today, and I know that some of you are dealing with them, dealing with addictions. I'm looking at counselors today that have some issues. Come on, we face them too. But the Holy Ghost has revealed to me, amen, there is one. There is one. I won't pick you out. I can't. It's not my job. Amen. But my life was so wretched and ruined. And just like Julius, I strapped that guitar on. I knew when to raise my hands. I knew when to look holy. But when I got down in my cabin, I knew that my ship was going down. And when I got to the place, unless you do something, I realized I was going to somebody that has heard this gospel. My pastor has preached to me solid, holiness, not man's standard, but God's holiness, just like the Apostle Paul. And I sit there, and I said, you know what? I'm going to follow what the world says is okay. I'm going to follow success. The world would just say, live it up. There's 18-year-old kids in here today that you're looking at college. And I'm going to tell some 18-year-olds today, if you do not get some of the load off your ship, you're going to enter college and you're going to be a drunk, an alcoholic. Some of you may end up pregnant before marriage. Oh, I know I'm preaching. If I offend you, y'all can, I'm just fine. Unless you get a hold of it, this is what the Holy Ghost told me to tell you. Your boat's fixing to go under. Can I tell a grown-up in here this morning? God help me. Unless you can get a hold of it and get it prayed through, it's going to take you under. I know this is awful solemn this morning, and that's okay. But with that being said, I want to encourage your heart this morning. I believe once they lightened the load of that ship, Paul tells them, he says, sirs, you should have listened. I believe there's an Apostle Paul in every one of your lives. I believe there's a man of God behind every young person in this house. I believe there's somebody at the bottom of your boat. While everything was going to hell on the boat, there was a man of God on the bottom. Brother Don, I believe he held the faith. I believe he said, God, every one of them's against you. But God, do something to prove. Amen. Do something. Can I tell you this morning, amen, that the Apostle Paul come up on that deck, amen, And he says, sirs, you should have listened. Amen. Can I tell you, when you get back to your home church, amen, that Apostle Paul preaching to you on Sunday morning, amen, can I tell you to open your ears up and listen to the man of God? Amen. Can I tell you something? Amen. But I believe there was a state, I don't know, it don't say, but I believe for Julius, amen, there was a state of repentance thinking, I should have listened to the man of God, but now I'm without hope. Amen. Now there's no hope for me. But the Apostle Paul come out, he says, boys, he says, be a good cheer. I done got a hold of something. Amen. Amen. He says, I done got a hold of something this morning. I know I've preached you down this morning, but I'm here to tell you right now, here's the good news. Amen. That God has told you where you're at. Amen. The Apostle Paul has told you, amen, this is, you shouldn't have been doing this. You should have listened to me. Addiction has got you where you're at. Amen. Rebellion has got you where you're at. Amen. Counselor, amen. Rebellion against God's word. Amen. What you know is right. Amen. What God has delivered you from, you went and picked it back up. My God, amen. But can I tell you something this morning? To be of good cheer, amen, because God let you be in a service in 2018, August the 8th, amen, when a little old preacher that don't know how to preach, amen, says, son, be of good cheer, because I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost, amen, has got something for you this morning if you will only take everything that's been navigating your life this morning, amen. If Facebook is something between you and God, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how many likes you get. Is it worth your soul? Amen. Is it worth your soul? Are you preaching against Instagram? No, I'm not. I'm preaching against anything, like the man of God said. I'm preaching against anything that gets between you and God this morning. Amen. But can I say unto you, amen, be of good cheer. Amen. He says, and now I exhort to you, be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you. That was an encouraging word. Oh, we're going to live. But he said, but the ship. Be of good cheer. There's help for you this morning, but you got to be willing to abandon ship. You've got to be willing, church, amen, to the things that you're hanging on to. You've got to be willing. I know I'm taking too much time, amen. Amen. You have got to be willing. Come on. I'm just about done. Stick with me. Let the Holy Ghost touch you. There is going to be things. You get to this altar this morning, amen. Some of you have already made up your mind. That preacher's just meddling, amen. But if you would come with an open heart, amen, can I tell you to be of good cheer, amen, you can make it all the way, amen. But that ship has got to go, amen. That sin has got to go, amen. That thing that God has put his finger on in your life, my God, it's got to go. Amen. Can I tell you this morning, my wife can come to the piano, that there's hope for somebody that don't know what they're doing. A few years ago, church, I recognized my state. Called to preach at 12 years old. I didn't run from it because I knew better, but I backslid and I just kind of stuck it on that shelf, brother. Closed the lid. Maybe God had forgotten. And I was scared. I'm be honest with you. A lot of times, church, you distance yourself from God because you're scared of the call of God. You will never, ever find true happiness in this world. Amen. And if God has to bring a Eurocladon storm on your life, he will do to get your attention. Church, I don't want God to have to bring a storm down on you so bad to get your attention. Amen. I'm gonna sing in just a second. Just obeying the Lord. I was driving down the road. I pull these big old trailer houses. I know it's redneck, but that's how I make a living. I was driving down the road pulling them big old houses, amen, and I recognized my state, brother. And I had come to the realization the only way I'm going to get past this is to unload this stuff. And the problem was for me, I did not know how to get rid of my addictions. I did not know how. I'm talking to you now. I did not know how to get rid of the thing. Come on, I throw that can of snuff away. I'm never going to do it again. And I wouldn't get down the road 10 miles and I'd go buy four or five more because I was bound. But can I tell you, a few years ago, it's been several years, I don't know, I was driving down the road one day. I'm going to tell you about the grace of God. That Holy Ghost come in that truck doing about 70 mile an hour, amen. And I'll never be the same. That same Spirit, church, he's walking the aisles today. He's touching maybe one in this room. I don't know, maybe two. Amen. I know you got some help from God last night, but there is one or two. Amen. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. There's somebody in here that needs to hear the word, and you don't know how to free yourself. Amen. Can I tell you something? Amen. You need to attach yourself to an Apostle Paul. You need not to be scared to talk to your pastor. Amen. To your youth counselor and say, brother, come on. I've got an addiction to pornography, and I don't know what to do. I'm telling you something. I ain't coming here. I ain't taking my time out of my week. Amen. Just to make you win in volleyball. I'm here to affect your heart and your soul this morning. My God, can I tell you something? You say, counselor, I don't know what to do. Amen. I've had these desires. Amen. I've had these thoughts. Amen. And I don't know what to do about it. Can I tell you this morning, you need to attach yourself to an Apostle Paul. Amen. I believe Julius with all my heart got something. Amen. On that boat. Amen. Because when that boat was about to be shipwrecked, amen, the other soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners. And Julius says, nah, you ain't killing that man of God. Amen. He predicted it all. Amen. I'm going to stand for the man of God. I'm going to go ahead and do what the man of God says. Amen. And the story says, amen, he says they was going to let down the boats. Amen. And some of the crew was going to leave. And then the Lord told Apostle Paul, he says, if any man gets off the boat, they're going to perish. Who did he tell? He told that repentant Julius. And he says, if they get off that boat, we're going to perish. They're going to perish. And Julius decided to listen now. And he says, you go over and cut the ropes, amen. You let that lifeboat drift away. We're going to listen to the man of God. When Jesus came into my life, church, he wrecked it. Just like that boat, he wrecked my life. He tore my life to pieces. And brother, for the last several years, he's putting it together plank by plank the way he wants it.
That's right.
I'm nothing this morning but a sinner saved by the grace of God. I find myself every week back at a man of God that's been a veteran in a church. Amen. I find myself, amen, amen, now co-pastor of a church. I don't know how God done something from where I started, amen, to where he's got me at. Are you promoting yourself? Uh-uh. I'm going to tell you something. I approach that bench every Sunday with fear and trembling. But can I tell you something? There is a change that God's wanting to do in somebody's life. Amen. There is healing God wants to give to you. But you got to be willing, church, this morning to walk up where you're at and get right up in here. I want you to come this morning. If the Holy Ghost has spoken to one individual this morning, if you are certain this morning, without him, I am going to go to hell. Amen. Without him, I have tried doing it my way. I have tried doing the fashion. I have tried doing everything, but it is not working for me. And I know without a doubt, if I don't get some help from God today, I'm going to hell. I want somebody this morning, bow your heads with me. God, I've done my very best. God, I know I'm not a great preacher, Lord. I know, God, sometimes I just get carried away. But God, I have done my very best to preach this gospel. God, you told me Thursday. You laid this on my heart Thursday on my knees that somebody has got to dump the tackling over the ship. Oh, God, I pray this morning, God, that the Holy Ghost would send the convicting power of God, not the condemnation power, with the conviction power. He wants to help somebody this morning. If you will only be honest with yourself and not walk out that door and go have fun today until you make it right with God. Would there be one this morning that would just raise your hand and say, preacher, you was talking to me and I don't know how I'm going to fix it, but I'm just confessing this morning. I've got some struggles. I see one hand. I see another. I'm not sure how I'm going to fix this, but I'm prepared to do whatever it takes. Like Brother Dustin said, I cannot tolerate it anymore. My vessel's leaking. I'm putting on a good front, but I am going down. Maybe you're like the Apostle Paul and you're on that ship. Not because you want to be. Maybe there's a young person this morning that your circumstances in life, your mama and daddy's got you in a position. You feel like you're on a boat that's going under. I want to give you some advice this morning to do what the Apostle Paul done, and you get yourself an altar on the bottom of that boat somewhere, and you pray, and you pray. Come on, I don't care what mom and daddy says. I don't care how bad. I don't care if you're from a broken home. I don't care if you live in an orphanage. You can find you an altar in prayer, and you can keep a prayer life unto God, amen, and He can keep you on that stormy sea until you come, amen, safe to the shore, as it says at the bottom of the chapter. I want you to come this morning, if you'll be honest, I want you to come down to the front. And I want you to come. And I want those counselors and people who will to gather around the honest hearts that rose their hand. I didn't come here looking for the whole camp. I come here looking for one or two. If you rose your hand, come on, be honest. We're not condemning you. I don't want to know what it is. But I want God to touch you this morning. One night while alone, life's raging sea, it looked as if I were suffering defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. Oh, my desperate cry rang out with fright, and all I could see. Stepped in. He said, this old boy, this old girl is mine. Amen. Till I met the one who came looking for me. I'd soon be lost. Oh, I knew my destruction was a matter of time. But Jesus stepped in and said, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Well, he came looking for me. Yes, Lord, he came looking for me. Was near. He rescued my soul and calmed all my fears. Turn it over to the Lord this morning. Come on, turn it over to Him this morning. Amen. You can shove off that conviction power of God. But can I tell you something? It's going to take you down. Amen. We learned last night, amen, that there is no age time, age limit on death this morning. We all have got an appointment. Amen. But if we go under, if we go dead, amen, if we fall victim to life, amen, repentant soul this morning. Oh, let God touch you this morning. Let God take that sin away, amen. Let God take that addiction away, amen. He wants to touch your heart, amen. He wants to do something for you. Let God have it this morning.
Till the storm was over, I Just my